put you in control of this meeting and let me understand it and let everyone come in one accord, one agreement with this. And I'd like to say thank you. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Mrs. Crawford.
Okay.
Can you hear us, Brandon?
He said give him 3 minutes.
Well, on your, in your area, you will find a draft of the City of Baker new strategic plan. There were people invited to be a part of this working group. The names are on the back of the people who were invited. Mostly we wanted to see people who are with our students every day. Now, there are several districts that go out and they hire companies to do strategic plans, and that can be super, super expensive. But when you think about the people that touch our children every day, our principals, our teacher, our community, when you think about that, they know what is best for this community, for this district, and their names are right here. So have a chance to peruse that. You also should have received this in your email about a week ago, or a little over a week ago. And what I'm asking you to do, and if everybody would silence your cell phones, and what I'm asking everyone to do is to take a look at this strategic plan. Basically, the working group wanted to make it short. The strategic plan that was on the website, I think it was initiated in 2017 till 2022, and so we needed to develop a new strategic plan. But it was very long, and the text was very wordy. And so I challenged the committee to give an elevator vision statement. And if you notice in the vision statement, it is an elevator vision statement. It's very, very short. The vision is building Baker forward, creating a community of leaders for today and tomorrow. This is an elevator conversation, and a lot can happen in an elevator conversation. A very short, essentially I'm saying very short vision statement. To where when you want to tell somebody, what is the City of Baker School Board? I'm not school board, but the City of Baker School System. What is that all about? And you say, hey, we're building Baker forward. We're creating a community of leaders for today and tomorrow in our city. That's short, 15 words or less. So they were able to do it by the grace of God. They did it. And I don't want to move forward in talking about this. You guys can take a look at it. They created, I want to say, commitments, certain priorities. I think it was about 5 priorities. And I would encourage you to get to know these priorities so that you can engage our community. Sometimes in our community, instead of us, we're here definitely to serve our community and to listen to them. But sometimes you have to feed into people. You have to let them know what we're trying to do. A lot of times they don't know what's going on. And so through the mouth of maybe one or two people, big mouths in the community, the word spreads. But if we begin to recreate our own story and give people the words, the positive words that we want them to recite to other people, I think you want to see this community, the culture, changing. It's already changing. It is already changing. So you see the 5 priorities, basically the 5 things that this working group thought that we needed to concentrate on. And one, the priority one is the most important, high quality instruction. Number two, positive school culture. And there are the little bullet points under each priority. Priority three, a premier workforce. Priority four, effective operations and resource allocations. And priority five, career and technical careers. Is that right? Career mm-hmm. and technical careers? Okay. Okay.
Can so, I say something? I'm sorry, mm-hmm. excuse me. Mm-hmm. On this strategic plan, who came up with everybody for this plan? Ms. Mack, Lord, Mr. Kowski, who came up with everybody? I see everybody with the school system, you know, mm-hmm. I see that, but...
I recommended Mr. McCaskill and Ms. Mack. The others were principals of each school, teachers from each school. Mm-hmm. So, and of course some of the staff, the principals and some teachers from each school. Okay. So, but they were a top-notch group of, right, Mr. Ricky? They were a top-notch group of educators that created this. And it was so good to watch because they had about five meetings. I think I attended two of the meetings, and it was just great. But what the working group wanted to do was present to the board something that you all can go through. You're welcome to change this, add to this, modify this, however you want. But what the working group wanted to do was give you something to start from. So if there's something you want to add, something you think needs to be taken out, only thing I encourage you to do is to do it before next Wednesday because this is to be on our agenda for April 16th.
Can you hear us okay? Can you hear us okay, Brandon?
The passing or the adopting of this strategic plan. Can't hear him. That's pretty good, pretty clear. You're not driving, are you?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
No, ma'am.
No, he's not driving.
No,
someone else driving.
Oh, good. I didn't think so.
Okay.
So that's too perfect. Okay, so Mr. Brandon, we're just talking about the strategic plan, and it's going to be on the agenda for the next meeting. So if there's anything, you know, while you guys have a chance to look over it, and if you have some modifications or some things you want to add to it, email us as a group, the group that Dr. Smothers sent out. Return email and, you know, changes, suggested changes in that email that you received where you received this.
From Dr. Smothers.
To Dr. Smothers.
Not us as a board group. Thank you.
Right, right.
All email being done.
Well, you forget it because you included it in the email.
Yeah, you're included in the email. So if you have any changes.
So if they respond, reply.
Right.
Yeah. You get it.
Yeah. So that's the action step.
Unless they give her.
If you have any additions, if you have any changes, if you have any recommendations, you're free to do that. Your board members, you're free to offer any recommendations and suggestions that you would like to see. Just email it in that text message, that email message that Dr. Smothers sent. I think it's a great piece of work. I think it's, me personally, I've had a chance to go through it. And like I said, it was emailed to y'all about a week ago. So I hope that you had a chance to take a look at it. Last week, it was emailed last week.
Well, I just must have read it.
Mm-hmm. It was emailed, I think, Thursday. Not last week, the week before.
Oh, no. I didn't get that early, baby.
Yeah. Can you tell me specifically when it was?
I am not sure. I know.
She can look at the phone. They can look at the email.
It wasn't last week. It was the week before. Yeah. Because I forgot, this is a new week that's gone by very fast.
So it probably was the first of last week. Well, I can't say because my phone was staying home. I don't know.
Miss, Monique's gone to, Ms. Butler's gone to tell us when it was emailed. So, Mr. Schroeder.
The 21st.
The 21st of March. That's when it was emailed.
That was Friday.
That's Friday before
Thursday.
That was Thursday. Okay, that was just Thursday.
Thursday. Yeah.
A week today.
Yes, a week today. So you've had it for a week. Mr. Strode, is there anything you want to add?
No, I think I attended three of the meetings. The committee really put a lot of thought and effort and emotion into this plan. So, you know, keep in mind that there was a cross-section of the community and the school that worked on it. And I was impressed with how quickly they turned it around.
Yep, I was too. Very impressed.
I think we went through about a 9 or 12 month planning process with a company that the state paid $75,000 to last year.
Last year.
And we just couldn't even get a document that we all felt like we could actually work off of. Mm-hmm. So.
And one thing I want to point out in here is I remember when Dr. Smothers presented to us the pupil progression plan, and it was at 70%. And she said, our goal is to get it in our attendance 90%. And guess what? We're at 90% attendance.
Also, keep in mind this is a working document because I know the state is talking about changing accountability. So if they change accountability, we may have to go back and revisit this because we would be working under a different accountability system.
Mm-hmm. Well, May 1st is when we would like to reveal this strategic plan, reveal basically press release on our website where it's presentable to our public. So please take time. I think you're going to be very, very pleased at what you find. Okay, any questions?
This is from 24 to 29.
Yes, ma'am.
5 years.
And like Mr. Strode said, it is a working, meaning it can be changed. It's subject to change. It's a fluid strategic plan with the changes in the law or the changes with the BSEE board. And I like our tagline, Build Baker Forward Together. We're building Baker Forward. That's Mr. Stroger's idea. So we have a vision statement, a mission, and our aim, our goals. All righty.
I'm gonna make y'all laugh. Last night, we was here at the school, and one of the parents said that they see the changes that you're doing. And also, that, how she put that, and he put it, said that, see, once this man make things happen and changes, other schools gonna be trying to get that man, and they gonna offer him, and he gonna be gone. I say, look, we'll see about that when he get there. I ain't gonna be able to pay him what the other schools pay him. I said, well, it doesn't matter. Right now, we got him for 4 years until we let him go.
Until we let him go. Good job. Okay, so y'all got it. Remember, it's going on our agenda April 16th meeting. And I hope this is a chance to ask the questions because I hope that we're all unanimous in our adoption of this strategic plan. Would like to see us all go ahead and give it. Like I said, it's a working document. So it's a proposed strategic plan. But we have to have something. All right.
Yeah, I know that's what they said at the conference, too.
Yes.
That we had to, yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I remember we did.
Pope did say that.
We did get ideas from other school districts. You know, one of the things that I wanted to see in our strategic plan, and it is in here, you know, to include all of the auxiliaries of our school district, you know, food preparation, and that's in here, too, nutrition, sports, our band. Of course, academics and instruction, but wanted every aspect of our district to be included in this plan. And I've asked Mr. Stroder if there is a way we can monitor this. In other words, we're not just going to put something out there because when I came on the board in 2019 and I read the 2017 strategic plan, I was like, how are they measuring if they're attaining these goals? How are they measuring if what they have here, if they're doing it? And so that company, what's the name of that company? SIMI, who gave us the bags, they're a company that, that monitors strategic planning.
Oh, Sibley or something like that?
Yes.
Sibley? Something like that.
But I've asked Mr. Stroller, because this is going to be his baby with, you know, the principals and teachers, how are we going to measure? Because, you know, say every 6 months, they even mentioned every 6 months or once a year. But because of our vulnerability right now as a school district, I think we need to measure this every 6 months. So that's what I think, that we need to measure this every 6 months, because we want to make sure that if we put something out there and we say that this is going to happen at a certain time, then how are we going to measure that it actually happens? Any suggestions
on that? Teachers and the superintendent. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you could come back. I think the committee could come back in 6 months and not only just take a look to see if you're meeting the goals, but also look to see if anything's changed.
We as the board, we don't have nothing to do with that. That's you to make sure the principal, and the principals make sure the teachers, correct?
Correct.
And we make sure that you do what you have to do with the principal.
You guys approve the strategic plan, and then the strategic plan guides our decision making.
Okay. Right.
I mean, I'm just trying to follow, because this is my first time, and I don't understand a lot of this stuff, but
you get it.
Ask questions, it's going to bring them
on. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if any other questions, Ms. Perkins, any questions? Ms. Prophet, any more questions?
I don't know.
Ms. Butler?
Don't rush me,
Carry on.
Slow today.
She want to be on here for a
minute. That's what I'm trying to say, carry on.
Okay. I'm just waiting for her to be done before we move on.
Now, that's how many students we have as of now, 984 students, four schools.
Mm-hmm. Well,
all
three,
schools.
I think, yes, four schools.
But three, I think our enrollment has picked up now, too, huh?
Yes, so we were originally, and I can talk about that a little bit. So we were originally thinking the high school is built for 650 students. So we were originally thinking, well, we could maximize that space by including 7th and 8th. But right now, as of today, the 7 through 12 enrollment is 500. It's almost 600 students. Mm-hmm. It's like 590 students. So I think probably what we're going to do is hold off on that and see what we think our enrollment is going to increase at the high school. If it goes up by 50 students, we won't be able to house 7 and 8 there.
Well,
so we're just going to hold pattern, other than moving Baker Heights into that more secure facility and Park Ridge.
Yeah, because those
and just,
parents
and see what happens.
Baker Heights is in terrible shape.
It is.
See what happens with enrollment at the high school, and if it does not go up, then at that point we can talk about, okay, do we want to try to place some 7 and 8 over there as well?
Yeah, okay, I got you. Because I think it will go up once they know about the welding program.
Yeah. It's
been
going up this spring, so gradually going up this spring.
And we get it out in the community about all the different things we offer the students next year that I've been hearing Mr. Schroeder discuss, it should go up. Because, like I said, all students are not college material.
But you can't say that either. Because the least child you think is not college material, that would be the main one going.
Well, no, and I'm not saying that. Everybody don't want to go to college.
I understand
some
that
don't
too.
Some want to do welding.
Yes, but still
and
all.
So I'm not saying nobody.
Because a lot of people, we keep saying that, and I don't like that, because when other kids hear that, it's like you don't have
confidence
in them. You know, don't say all kids are not college bound, because some of them
no,
are.
No, some are right.
But still and all, those are the ones that go.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to prepare them. Our goal is to prepare them for either path. Like if they graduate and they want to go to college, they can go to college.
Well, that's what
they graduate
and
want to enter the workforce, they can go into the workforce.
But I was using it the wrong way, Ms. Butler's. Don't say it like that.
No, don't say it like that.
I won't say it like that
anymore. Yeah. Because, you know, we know with having kids of our own, four of mine graduated from college. One of them said, Mom, I'm out of here. I'm done. She went to college 1 year. That was it. So,
Because college is not for everybody either, you know.
That's what I just
but
said.
Yes.
I know what you're saying. Don't say it like that.
Don't say it like that. Cause it's
I wouldn't say that around other students anyway. But I understand what you're saying. You know, gotcha.
All righty. Sounds good.
Oh, really?
Okay. Everybody, any more questions? No more questions. All righty. Board norms and protocol.
Okay.
I heard this at the conference, and it really piqued my interest, and I'm going to turn it over to Brandon to kind of give us a general synopsis of what this is, but I picked up that board norms and protocols were basically all of the law, all of the policies, all of the ethics combined that constitutes a behavior for us as board members, like best practices. I mean, what are we going to do when we have a public board meeting? How are we going to act? Respectability, kindness. So, Mr. Brandon?
Certainly. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Good. So, for board norms and protocols, a couple of things that I want to run through with everybody, and we'll send this out in a document next week for you guys to review, but it starts, the starting point for how a board operates begins with what is contained in Title 17 of the education statutes for K-12 schools. That's the starting point. That starting point also is not a point that is robust, broad, and encompassing of all things. It simply puts out the basic requirements that the state of Louisiana, through its legislators, have determined is necessary for a board to operate. Now, over time, we've had some adjustments to that, and the biggest adjustment that we had came during the Jindal administration of 2012 with Act 1, which redefined the role of school board members in the operations and overall governance of the school system. So keep in mind that there are two major functions. There's the school system, which is operated and run primarily by the superintendent. And then there's the school board, which is the members that set the policy goals and objectives for the superintendent and carrying out the daily operations. So in 2012, there was a strong move to give superintendents and principals a lot more autonomy in the classroom with on the ground decisions.
Hold on, Brandon, you're cutting out on us.
We had experienced.
You cut out on us, hold on. Give it a second to come back.
The area he's in.
I would think he's getting pretty close if he was. Is he
he's
like 20 minutes out?
45.
He's at 45.
He's still 45
like an hour
out.
More or less.
Well, that was at 5 o'clock.
But it's going to be more than that because he's coming through from
home
and through that traffic.
Can you guys hear me?
No.
It's very spotty.
Give it 1 second. I'm almost to the next cell. We got caught up in some traffic. Am I still going in and out? Or?
You can try it again. You were at 2012.
So in 2012, I made some adjustments with the legislature to have the board, school board, be more of a policy board to set long-term plans, sort of like what you guys just discussed, the strategic plan, in order to guide the system on how it will look over the next 1, 3, 5, 15 years. So with that said, you move from state law, next place that you go to are the school board policies. The school board policies are the refined operations for the governance of the school board and also sets forth policies that go well beyond where the school board members would have any involvement. For instance, we have a sick leave policy. We have a policy on Title IX. We have a policy on truancy. all of those things are somewhat dictated by some measure of state law, but further elaborated upon by board policy to accomplish the objective of reducing truancy, to facilitating family or Family Medical Leave Act issues where the school teacher may need to take some time off because of the illness of the family, or they may actually be with child. Some of these things are covered in the policies. So moving from those policies, the last thing that we have to govern and use for best practices with the board is actually Robert Rules of Order. Robert Rules of Order is actually where the board should spend the majority of its time in operation. And the reason for that is that actually tells the board how to properly debate a motion, how to properly move and make a motion. What do you need to do when you get a second on a motion? And then from there, it further determines how you make alternative motions, secondary motions, and so forth. Also unique to Robert Rules of Order is it's based on the board governing themselves. If the board chooses not to follow the rules, the board will remain in chaos and dysfunction. I'm not necessarily saying that's what's going on today, but if a board chooses not to follow the process, the rules that are established for self-governance, it can never actually operate and effectively accomplish the task. So for instance, if on the agenda there's an item in a place for a debate on a motion, that's when you do it. You don't necessarily bring up a discussion on a non-relevant or germane action to the board if it's not listed on the agenda. So one would then ask, what is the time and place for that? So you have a time and place. In fact, we're doing it right now. This is a work session. The work session is provided for in your board policy. The work session function is to debate items that may be ready to come before the board to ensure that all elements of them have been discussed and to confirm that they're in final posture, such that when you go to the board meeting, you now have an item for action that has been completely vetted by staff, has run all of the traps, so to speak, that the board had questions about, and then you can vote on it. Now, obviously, whatever the action may be, for instance, if the action is to revise the school security plan, where we now require board members to check in, give notice before they show up, such that the principals can plan for these folks to be on campus when they're not a part of their official campus calendar. That's something some board members may feel, well, I shouldn't have to do that because I'm a board member. Well, that's your right to vote against the motion or the item, but keep in mind that the whole purpose of the item was to ensure security for the school. Every day, there's a head count taken on that campus at that location. That head count lets the principal know what students are there. There's also a head count taken every day of staff that has to report to that site. So by 9 o'clock or 9:30, the principal of the school should know exactly how many people are on her campus at any one given time. When you have visitors to campus, that's why they check in. When you have deliveries, they're usually made before or after when students are not present on the site. That is the most vulnerable a school will be, is when you have students on campus and in the middle of the academic day. So you develop these plans to make sure that you cover the unexpected, i.e. the incident that happened in Port Allen at the beginning of the school term. Mm-hmm. So with that said, when we move with good governance and good practice, everybody recognizes and heeds to the rules, meaning that if proper rules of order determines that this is not the proper time to debate the motion, proper rules of order also gives you the opportunity to determine when you do bring that up. And that may be brought up in between sessions. That may be brought up with a conversation between the board member and the board chairperson. It can be brought up at other intervals where there may be a work session. So these are the things that help a board function properly, and as long as we can abide by the self-governance model, which is the Robert Rules of Order, the primary purposes of how we conduct our operations in the public purview, we will have really well-run meetings. And that's the objective. We want to have a meeting that facilitates debate. We want to have a meeting that facilitates respectful discord, meaning that while this motion may not be the way that you feel it should go, but we're having respectful debate about it and not necessarily causing consternation or a public display of bad behavior that says they don't know how to operate using their own rules. And so what we will provide to you is, again, we did at the beginning, as when all board members came on, we gave you a Robert Rules of Order cheat sheet. I believe Ms. Moten had prepared that and made it part of everybody's little package when they first came on last December. But we'll provide that to you again, as well as some additional information that helps you understand when and how things should take place, when you should ask questions in the public meeting space, when you should ask questions of your superintendent and or your board chair in order to accomplish whatever item or matter that you may have. So hopefully everybody heard me. I'm going to take a pause because I've given a lot, and I'll be happy to entertain any questions before I move into the next part.
So essentially, there doesn't need to be a separate list of norms and protocols because it's already done, or if there is a separate list,
sure.
Or should there be?
So to answer your question in that regard, the beginning point is this, is that we do have norms and protocols in place. Mm-hmm. And for instance, and I'll pick on the work session because that's what has us here. So the work session has us here today, and if you look at the board policy as it pertains to work session, it says, one, how the work session can be called. Two, it says the items that would be on the work session. And three, it says that no action on the items in the work session shall be taken because it's a time and space for the board to discuss them.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the work session is a public session, but it's also a public session where the board is trying to really determine what is the action that is being sought from the board, and is it the appropriate action under the circumstances, and what else do we need to consider when we make this action? Sort of like how you walk through the strategic plan, kind of box by box, item by item, trying to identify the things that you wanted to do and make adjustments for. Your board policies have great protocols already in place coupled with Robert Rules of Order. But that's not to say we can't do some refining. So if there is a policy, for instance, one that may deal with, you know, visitors on campus that could be further adjusted and refined, by all means, we can further adjust and refine that policy. If there's a practice with comments before the board and when we can discuss things, that really is connected to proper rules of order. That's going to be the guiding practice for how we handle when board members have the floor to speak, when board members no longer have the floor to speak. And again, Ms. Burgess can sit there and rap the gavel and say, you're out of order, but if you refuse to stop talking, that's the point in which you cross the threshold of no longer self-governing, meaning that you're refusing to follow the rules, and you're allowing for disrespectful discord to take place. And that's what we're trying not to have. Not that anybody's been disrespectful to anyone, but that's the nomenclature that's used to describe when a board no longer follows its self-governing process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Brandon, are you aware of any boards that have board handbooks?
So, some do have board handbooks. The board handbook is generally an extract of the board and the system policies. So, for instance, if you look at our board maker policies, it covers everything, right? It covers the entire operations of the school system. What a board handbook would do is it would identify all of the policies that pertain to board action and put them in one book such that the board members aren't having to sift through the board policies to find the ones that pertain to when action is needed for them. And that would be, you know, something that, you know, either we could get with Mr. Prescott, who does our board policies, and see if he can identify and extrapolate or extract out the ones that are unique to the board governance and then put them into a handbook for you to follow. But the answer to your question, Mr. Schroeder, is some do, some don't. And if they do, it's primarily the policies that pertain specifically to how the board operates. So for Ms. Burgess's question, are there any other protocols or norms that could be one we could establish? But again, keep it in mind, it's an extract of the policies that will pertain to the board functions.
Would that be helpful to some board members to have something that is specifically extracted from the policies and the law and just contained in one communicator? Would that be helpful? Mm-hmm. No? Isn't it? What's that?
So why don't we take this approach? What I'll do is this. I will, in addition to the material that I'm intending to provide to you guys, I will pull a few of the policies that I think are most relevant for where I see issues as we attend board meetings. Mm-hmm. And provide that to you guys, and then we can build collectively a board handbook. But the board handbook would, you know, the root of the handbook would be the policies that are already available online. Such that if you needed further information about how that policy or how that board policy works, you would still go to the main policy file and then pull the additional policies that correspond with it. Mm-hmm. So we can start with a few and basically build a handbook together. That way, as we work through it, you'll have good information that gives you an idea of what to do.
Okay. Good. All right. This is your opportunity to say, you know, how you feel about policies and the law. This is your chance to say that. And we can build from it, because one of the things that I, as the chair of the board, I want to see everybody's thoughts. I want you all to know that they're important. So that's why this session, this work session, is created so that we can have these conversations. So, once again, is that something that you as board members would like to see? A separate board handbook created. For me, I would say I don't need it, because I can take a look at the law, I can take a look at the policies, I can take a look at Robert's Rules of Order, and I'm self-governed. I know how to be respectful, I know how to get my ideas out there and still be within motion and be respectful. But I just want to know if this is something that you all want to do, because at the conference there were quite a few school board districts that talked about norms and protocols and how it had benefited them, just to have those things sliced out of a big container, so to speak. But if you guys don't see that it's useful, then we don't have to make the time to do it, because I don't want to waste anybody's time. So think about it, and we can move forward. And unless you guys bring it up again, I'm going to consider this a done deal. But thank you.
No problem.
Mr. Brandon. Okay, any questions? Anybody? All right, we're moving on. Superintendent evaluation. Okay, Mr. Brandon, it's on you again.
So, this is, I'm glad we kind of I'm glad we have this on the work session topic for today. For two reasons. One, we are roughly one quarter is done into the new year, and we are one quarter into the 1 year mark on Mr. Schroeder's employment with Baker as the superintendent. So we need to look at an evaluation tool. I know there may have been some thought or some concern that we needed to evaluate Mr. Schroeder by May of this year, which that is not exactly correct. We need to evaluate him by May following the first year completion of his contract. So Mr. Schroeder will get evaluated no later than May of 2025 for the current year's employment. So he just started as the superintendent in, January 1 was his first official day. And now the metrics that we will use will be based on the school performance scores that will ultimately be obtained through the conclusion of this academic semester that will then be available later this year or at the beginning of next year. And the reason why I bring that up is that's important because Baker's school system is still at a D level, which means that we had to include an attachment to his employment contract that specified certain benchmarks for him to hit in a given contract period. They're not necessarily benchmarks for him to hit in the first year, but they're benchmarks for him to hit over the term of his contract. And in order to understand the benchmarks for him to hit, all we have to do is until the students take a leak testing. The leak testing will be a big portion of the data that will be driven into some of the evaluation of Mr. Schroeder. So with that said, I wanted to give you a couple of areas to consider in addition to the attachment A to the contract. The areas to consider for purposes on the evaluation is going to be the strategic plan. Whether or not the strategic plan was adhered to as best as possible during the 1 year review. Now keep in mind, we were discussing the strategic plan just a few minutes ago, so we may not have a completed strategic plan to get a holistic grade on. The other concept to remember about the strategic plan is that it's not a one-year plan. It's not a one-year plan. It is a plan that is generally based over 5 years. So keep in mind that when we do the evaluation, that we would need to look at where he is in 1 year of a five-year plan. The other thing to look at are business and finance. Obviously, finances have been big and key to our system based on our enrollment. Is it up? Is it down? Our enrollment is a key driver on a lot of the ability for us to bring on new resources, bring on new teachers. If the enrollment is increasing, that generally will help us bring on more staff and more teachers to teach more students. If the enrollment is not, if their enrollment is decreasing, that means we may have to tighten the belt a little bit while we go through the lean period. So business and finance is one element, and also within the business, what is being done to create new opportunity? How are we marketing Baker? How are we attracting individuals or corporations to want to partner with us? That would be another element of business. The other one is education leadership, right? So what opportunities are being created for our staff and our teachers to better themselves in their own positions? And within that, that would be, are we offering or are we making available training, professional development? The other one, so just to recap, we have strategic plan, we have business and finance, and the third one that we've added in is education leadership. So we'll add in another one, which would be staff and personal relationships, or personnel relationships. A big key to moving the school system in the appropriate direction is, does your staff buy into your plan?
Right.
Does your staff and your personnel buy into your system of leadership? And that system and that plan of leadership is all going to be keyed upon, does the superintendent have a good rapport with his staff to command the best and always achieve the best?
That's right.
Okay? So then the other one that I know is going to be near and dear and personal to the school, which is community and stakeholder relationships. That's something that the superintendent is going to need to rely on you guys as much as he will have, as much as you guys will rely on him about delivering the message. It's the stakeholders in the community that elected the board. Y'all are obviously going to have the immediate pulse of your constituents. Mm-hmm. You each are elected from a separate district. It's going to be you guys to make sure that you deliver back to Mr. Schroeder what the concerns are of each district and each constituent base that you have within your district. It's not for you guys to necessarily go and say, well, I need this for District 1, or I need this for District 5, or I need... It's to create a holistic plan that reaches all districts simultaneously. So while somebody in District 1 may see an issue, that could also be an issue that's existing in District 5. The only thing that separates the person in 1 and 5 is space, because all of the problem or whatever the issue is going to emanate from one location. It's going to emanate from the school system. So if it's a transportation issue in 1, it's likely a transportation issue in 5.
That's true.
So it's not that the transportation issue is unique to District 1 only. And so that way, if we know that the driver who's picking up in District 1 may also pick up in District 5, we need to know what the issues are. And those are the things that Mr. Schroeder is going to have to rely on for you guys to deliver to him. If you never tell him, he won't ever know. He's going to know only the issues that he's able to deal with in a given day. And that may be a parent coming to him and he can solve it then. But if you guys are visiting with your community and your stakeholders on at various events or other places where he may not always be present and available to visit with them, and they raise a concern, that's when you need to bring it back. Or if they raise an accolade, that's when you need to tell them, hey, look, this is working well. Is it replicated everywhere else? So the community stakeholder kind of goes both ways. So when you look at that as one of the items on the evaluation, you know, are you informing the superintendent such that he knows the community and the stakeholders' positions? All right, so in addition to community stakeholders, the other one that we have is board governance, right? So when we get with board governance, the item that we want to look for in board governance is what is the relationship amongst the board to the superintendent? How are we intercommunicating? How are we communicating? Are we having any issues in communication? That's usually what board governance is going to circle around when it's looking at the relationship and the dichotomy between the superintendent and the board. Now, as we know, the board elects officers. The board's going to speak through its president, and the way that it speaks through its president of the board is by the action that it takes at board meeting. So if there are concerns or things that the board has that they want to be addressed, it's through the action at the board meeting that directs the superintendent to go back and then bring it to the board at a later date. That process that I just described should be for actionable items. Items that are requiring a policy directive or a policy change. If you are looking for, hey, I need a phone call, or hey, can you help me understand this particular line item in the budget? That's not an actionable item for in the school board meeting. That's for you to bring to the president of the school board and say, hey, look, I didn't understand this. Did you understand this way? Let's get some additional information from Mr. Schroeder. That intercommunication can take place outside of the board meeting. It should happen freely. It should be that board members constantly communicate with them as it relates to issues that are being developed on the agenda. So, for instance, as we just talked about the strategic plan earlier this evening, one of the communications back to Mr. Schroeder should be, hey, what about this as a concept? What do you think about this? What have you seen? Those things should be taking place as you develop the strategic plan, such that when it's rolled out or presented for final adoption, you guys have had all of the questions answered as it relates to the plan, and then you can have a very succinct, clear, and crisp presentation to the public as you adopt the plan. And then finally, so to recap, to let you know where we are, the areas are strategic plan, business and finance, education and leadership, staff, personnel and relationships, community stakeholder, board governance. And then the last one that we have is just personal qualities, right?
What's that again?
Personal qualities.
Qualities.
Meaning does the superintendent have qualities in personnel or personality that is inviting and warm and welcoming? You're able to have, you know, respectful discord conversation. And that generally is sometimes merged in with board governance. So I only pushed it as a standalone item simply because I've seen it separate a few times, but most of the time it usually falls under the board governance. But those are the areas that we need to consider as we develop the evaluation. Ideally, what you would have in each of those topics is about 5 questions that you would ask yourself and then grade those questions in a numbered scale from, you know, 1 being lowest to 5 being highest. So under business and finance, you know, the first question may be, you know, are we with good audits? And, you know, have we had any audit issues? That's just an example. Or the other one may be under education and leadership. Has he made available, you know, professional developments to the school teachers on a routine and regular basis? You know, and then if you want to get even really drilled down into it, are the quality of the professional development relationships those that, you know, teachers are that we believe is in the right direction? So you want about 5 questions to maybe 6 questions under each one of those items that you would then grade them on. And then finally at the end, you know, the pieces that we would add back in would be specific to the attachment A and the metrics that the school board has to also consider based on the current school performance. So I'm going to stop there and ask if there any questions as it relates to the areas that we need to consider.
Any questions? I know I've been through 2 superintendent evaluations, and basically it's what you've described here with those 5 questions within each topic. And so when is that done? Is that done during executive session with the superintendent?
Yes. So the way that the evaluation works is this. The evaluation and your impressions upon his operations or his daily task or the yearly task of what he's been assigned, that's actually an executive session item. And if you recall, we go into executive session to discuss personnel matters.
Mm-hmm.
One of the defining characteristics of personnel matters is to discuss the professional competency of the individual. An evaluation is a discussion of the professional competency. So it is truly something that is conducted in executive session. Now, the school superintendent may decide to release his evaluation, but that's up to the superintendent to make that determination because it is his personnel record that is ultimately confidential. Now, the way that the evaluation can be done procedurally is one of 2 ways. Once we have the rubric and or the evaluation tool prepared, we can then email it to everybody and they can complete the evaluation tool and return it. We score it. It will not be objective scoring. It'll be based on the numbers that are provided. And then we have a board meeting to meet and review the evaluation that was given by the board members. That's how some boards have done it. Other boards, and in the past, I believe Baker has taken the approach of, we'll do the evaluation with him, and they'll run through the items on the list and then score it and grade it at that particular meeting. I would probably tell you that's worthy of some discussion, simply to figure out what flows better and what works better for Mr. Schroeder.
Okay. And that's done during an executive session, possibly?
The evaluation itself will be done in an executive session, okay. And the results of the evaluation.
And the results, so it's not something that would be public?
No. Now, okay. You have to call a board meeting.
Of course.
But once you call the board meeting, the item would be the superintendent evaluation, and you guys would retire to executive session to complete the evaluation. Gotcha. And discuss the results of the evaluation, which he would have an opportunity to respond and then say, you know, what how he may feel about the grades on the evaluation.
Okay.
Now, what month would we start this again? Approximately, I know it's not, we have to grade it before May of 25. So
right now, I would posit that the best approach for the next couple of months here is, now that I've laid out the categories, if anybody has any additional categories worthy of consideration or maybe some ideas of questions, you can send those to us. What we will do is put together a draft evaluation.
Okay.
And that will then get disseminated to the board, and we can visit again in a work session and flush out any final details on it. At which point, once it becomes a pretty complete document, then we can present it and use for the evaluation. I would think that the evaluation would be done contingent upon or shortly after the release of the school performance scores for Baker in the spring. And I guess, when do those come out? Either late fall or spring?
They're usually out by August, September, sometime in that time range.
Right. So if we get school performance scores, let's say in October, we could conduct the evaluation, or we could do the evaluation in November or December, or you could do it in January. Ideally, you want to do it closest point to the one-year mark. So the one-year mark for Mr. Schroeder won't occur until the end of this year, meaning December. So you could do the evaluation as one of the first orders of business in January, or you could do it in February. But I would suggest that you probably want to do it in the first 2 to 3 months of each given year.
Okay. Now, when did you actually make the superintendent?
January 1st.
January 1st? Okay.
So Mr. Schroeder's evaluation, and I'm glad you asked that question, Ms. Prophet. His evaluation is based on his time from January 1 of this year through the point of end of anniversary. His evaluation isn't necessarily based on, while I'm sure he's probably had some things he would like, hey, I want y'all to consider that, but his evaluation is not necessarily based on his time serving as the interim.
As what?
As the interim superintendent.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was, yeah.
Right. So the time period that you measure him from and his objectives are accomplishing his objectives and the goals set forth would be from January 1, 24 through December 31, 22.
Okay.
All
right. Okay, so are you going to send out some follow-up information
from
this conversation?
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Moten and I had a discussion earlier today. She prepared some stuff for me to review and such that we'll get it out to you guys over the next couple of days.
Okay.
First, you'll probably receive the Robert Rules of Order cheat sheet. I hate to call it cheat sheet, but the short cheat, additional guidance that we've seen from other boards and policies, or not policies, but just mannerisms and practices that should be adhered to that are consistent with Robert Rules of Order. Then the following thing that you'll receive as we put together the evaluation tool, we'll send that out probably sometime next week or the following week, the week of April 8th is what I'm looking on getting at least the first turn of that out. And then we can either have another work session, or if there's comments that you guys have, you can send them back via email, and then we can visit from there.
So you did say during the superintendent's eval that we, that board members could add a section to that if they wanted to, with all board unanimous support?
Yeah, so if there's something that wants to be added to the evaluation tool, eventually you guys will have to approve, right?
Okay.
This will be the evaluation tool that everybody agrees upon, and we'll approve that probably at a meeting, I would suspect, in, let's just say, June. I don't see that this taking very long to get done. But by June, we'll have a full evaluation tool. So a work session sometime, one more work session on this between now and June, depending on the level of feedback.
Okay.
We'll flush out any remaining items and then present the evaluation tool for adoption by the board in June. That then, and keep in mind, the biggest piece of this puzzle, which is somewhat interesting as I tell folks, is that having the evaluation tool 6 months into the person's year in which he's going to be evaluated is somewhat of a setback for the superintendent, because he doesn't know what you're going to ask or what you're looking for specifically. So the sooner we can get it done, the better.
Okay.
Because now he knows what you guys are looking at for purposes of grading.
Okay. All righty. Sounds good. Any comments or questions, board members? Any other comments or questions?
Oh, I don't know. I'm going to ask it anyway.
Nothing's wrong with that.
Okay. We want all of your contributions to these discussions that we've had, just to travel back a bit. Action steps. We've talked about the strategic plan, and you're being asked to review the copy that you've had over a week. It was all emailed to you over a week ago. This is just a hard copy. If you haven't already, to take a look at that. It is a desire to have this on our April 16th board meeting for adoption. If you have any comments or any...
Hold on. Brandon's trying to say something, I think.
Well, he's on mute.
Oh, okay.
No, I wasn't saying it. I was talking to Ashley.
Okay. No, I thought he had said something you said about April 16th. So, okay.
Okay.
Right. I'm sorry.
No problem. So, it's our goal to adopt this strategic plan by April 16th. To make it ready, and thank you, Mrs. Mack, for your contribution to this amazing job. April 16th to adopt this. If you have any questions or suggestions to this, we want to hear it. This is the working group. They put this together for us to take a look at. There's an email that Dr. Smothers sent everybody about a week or so ago, March 21st. A week today, March 21st, respond using that email address, using that group email with any kind of modifications, because, you know, this is something that was done, but, you know, these people with Mr. Stroder's staff, they're very busy. And so as soon as you can, and I think I asked if you could get everything to Dr. Smothers by Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, so that we can,
this weekend a holiday.
That's what it is.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, no. So
they have.
They're out of school next week. But as soon as you can, get that to Dr. Smothers using that same email address where she sent it to us.
Well, at least we have a week to look at it all this week coming, because they're out.
When do they return?
Monday, week from Monday.
Which is the week of the board meeting, right?
No.
The week before.
Okay. All right.
He probably said this before I got here, but a group, you said
here. Right here. On the back.
So this was a group put together
by principals and teachers and a few committees.
Put the group together, because I thought it was us coming together to do one. That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. But this was the last meeting we had, and I wasn't able to come because I had a letter.
Mm-hmm.
It said strategic planning.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I had missed it. So I thought, I said, well, maybe they worked it up when I wasn't here, because I went back to look for the meeting and it's not on this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not taped.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I took it. I said, well, maybe it was something I misunderstood. So you're saying that a group, not us, put this together.
So
and we're to look at it and see if we have any comments. That's what I'm hearing.
Comments, mm-hmm. suggestions.
Okay. And do what?
Submit them to Dr. Smothers, and she'll suggest your changes. She'll add your changes or not.
Well, it looks like a completed thing. That's why I was asking.
It's a draft.
So just if I have any concerns or issues, send it to her.
Yes.
And it'll be considered.
It will be considered.
By
yes, ma'am.
That group.
Yes. Ultimately, the board will have to vote on it.
Yeah. Ultimately, we vote on it. Yeah. Yeah. So,
But I asked that same question, who came up with, and she was telling me that the principals and the teachers and whoever came up with them.
Mm-hmm. I've never been a part of that.
I haven't either. Well, this is my first time being a school board member. So it's different than a school board member and
mm-hmm.
the other type mm-hmm. of boards they told me. So I don't know.
Yeah. Well, initially, I asked Dr. Smothers if she would facilitate this whole ordeal.
That's what I asked.
I asked Dr. Smothers to put this together. So Dr. Smothers was the facilitator. I suggested people that for her to ask, and she did. And so this is what you have. But wanted to give y'all something to take a look at, because this was, 3 weeks of collaboration putting this together. So I wanted you guys to have something already for you to look at instead of coming up with something.
Right, because I couldn't have came up with that. I'm just being
absolutely.
Really,
I think I...
I've never doing this before. I knew I wouldn't have been able to come up
exactly,
with
this. Exactly.
Right.
And I just
it's
knew...
something to look at, like you said.
That our principals and our teachers who know our students best and our community who knows this city best, they would be the right ones to choose for something like this. But
I'm
your comments.
No, she was just asking.
Oh, I know.
I just asked a question because
yes.
I might know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So the principals also picked
teachers.
Teachers, the mm-hmm. principal teacher. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you
exactly.
said.
So it was, just a, I chose Dr. Smothers and she took it from there. I asked her, and it was very gracious of her to do that. She's a very busy lady. As soon as you can get your comments, recommendations, suggestions to Dr. Smothers, and put it in a group, is what I'm asking you to do, to return the information with the email that she sent so we can all see what your comments are. And then we'll submit it to Dr. Smothers, and either she can go back through the group and see how they fit in to this plan. But please keep it short, because I've seen strategic plans and they're unreadable. I want your constituents to be able to look at all of these priorities and understand what they're looking at, because it's simple. Basically, we want our school district to move forward in enrollment, in our grades, and of course, with construction of our high school. That's just the simplicity of it. And then the next thing is, I asked you guys about a board handbook, and that seemed to be something that you were not interested in, which is fine, because we have the law, we have the policies, we have Robert's Rules of Order, and then we have ourselves to govern ourselves. And then the next one is, of course, Brandon DeQueer will be sending us evaluation tool where we could look at an evaluation and try to have that to Mr. Stroder's knowledge 6 months before his year date. So any other questions? Mr. Calder, anything you want to say?
I'm good, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Brandon, anything else? Ms. Moten?
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, everybody. Happy Resurrection Day. Thank you all for taking time to come. This meeting is adjourned. All right. Have a good evening.
Yes, indeed.
Can you scan that document?
I know you've been to them. Is it
document? Oh.